Hello and welcome to our program. We continue today in our series in the book of Genesis. Wonderful privilege today to own and have the freedom to look into the Word of God. Some people don't believe the Bible. Why should anybody believe the Bible? Well, there's a lot of good reasons to believe the Bible. But there was people like Robert Ingersoll, who was an atheist, and he said, within 15 years, I will have the Bible lodged within a morgue. Within 15 years, he was in the morgue. However, the Bible lives on. Voltaire was a French writer who was an atheist. He said, within 100 years, the Bible and Christianity will be swept out of existence. Well, within 50 years, Voltaire was swept out of existence, after which the Geneva Bible Society used his house and his printing press to print the Bible.
The Bible stands like a rock, undaunted mid the raging storms of time. Its pages burn with the truth eternal, and they glow with the light sublime. The Bible stands like a mountain towering far above the works of men. Its truth by none ever was refuted, and destroy it they never can. The Bible stands though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. The Bible stands, and it will forever, when the world has passed away. By inspiration it has been given, all its precepts I will obey. The Bible stands every test we give it, for its author is divine. By grace alone I expect to live it, and to prove it and make it mine. The Bible stands though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. Yes, the
Bible stands. It stood in the day of Noah, it stood in the days of Joshua and Moses, and in the days of Elijah, and the days of the disciples in the New Testament, and the Bible stands today. Jesus says, when it gets like it was in the days of Noah, I'm coming back to bring judgment upon this wicked world. Well, we don't have to look too far to find out where like it was in the days of Noah. Mankind was vile. They were morally wicked. They were violent. Today we have violence and we have immorality worldwide. God's word doesn't mean anything anymore except to a handful of Christians. And even then, most Christians, I don't pay much attention to it, or at least people who call themselves Christians. We're living in a wicked world, and Jesus said, I'm coming back when it gets like that. Well, we look at the life of this individual called Noah. We say he was converted. He had character. We see his conduct. And we see the things that he was concerned about. Now, when we're using the term converted, we're using it like Jesus did when he said to Peter in Luke chapter 22, that the devil wanted to sift him as wheat. But he said in verse 32, I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Now, Peter was already saved, obviously, so now he's going to be converted. Well, it's one thing to be saved, it's another thing to live the way God wants us to live. I was reading today about the life of T.C. Studd, and he got saved when he was 18 years old. But he said he wasted about 6 years of his life before God really got a hold of him, and it was in a meeting with D.L. Moody where he realized he was wasting his life, and at that point he totally and completely changed, turned around. He was a very wealthy man. He gave all his money away to the work of the Lord and went onto the mission field to serve the Lord. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about being converted. It's not that everyone's going to go to a mission field, but it's simply saying, Lord, I give everything to you. You know, we got the idea sometimes that God wants 10%. God doesn't want 10% of you. He wants 100% of you. God does not want 10% of our money. He wants to be in charge of 100% of our money. Now, he said put that 10% in the local church, and if every Christian did that, the local church would have everything it needed. But that doesn't mean to say you can spend the rest of 90% without checking with him. We should check with him on all of his money, all of his life, all of his Christians, which going by your name if you're a Christian. He wants all of us, not 10%. Well, to be converted, God's got a hold of Noah, and he gets all of him. So as a result of that, whatever he was when he got saved, he was changed in his character, and as soon as your character is changed to line up with the Word of God, then the result will be that we will have a concern for things of the Word of God. And to be concerned is to get to be affected so as to get involved. Well, that brings us to our conduct, and we see as far as conduct is concerned, which is the manner in which a person behaves, Noah gave his entire life, you read in the Bible, that he did according to what the Lord told him to do. It says that several times. And so it says concerning Noah that he was a just man. Now that word just has been translated righteous 162 times. In Genesis 7 and 1, the Bible says, the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. And as we said, that generation was a very wicked, vile generation, like today. And God would look down today and he would see us as Christians if we would be doing what he wants us to do. And he would say, I see thee righteous before me in this generation. It also says that Noah was upright. It says he walked with God. The Bible says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? That verse gets misquoted quite a bit. The word be gets left out. Big difference. How shall two walk together except they agree? That's not what it says. It says, how shall two walk together except they be agreed? Now, that means somebody has to change, and God isn't going to change. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 13 and 8 that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not going to change. It's us that needs to get in line in order to be what Peter was called back here in Luke 22 as being converted. Get in line, Peter. We need to do the same thing. We need to walk with God. Noah not only walked with God, but he worked for God. He spent 120 years doing exactly what God told him to do. Not only that, he was a witness for God. We read in 2 Peter 2, verse number 5, that Noah, the eighth person, was a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. And not only that, if you read the story, Noah took time to worship God. He was taking care of his family. He was their provider, their protector, and as a result, their preservation was a result of doing what Noah led them to do. Now, when they get off the ark, we read the story. I wish it wasn't in the Bible. It talks about Noah getting drunk. It shows his sin, it shows his shame, and it focuses on his sons as a result of this. One interesting thing about all of this, as you go through the Word of God, God does not cover up his heroes. In our next chapter, we're going to get into the life of Abraham, and we'll see how Abraham messed up a few times. And you and I mess up along the way as well. like Peter when he cursed and swore and said he never knew God. Hope we never get into that position. However, as a result of being human, God knows he knows how weak we really are. We need to be into the Word of God to get strength to live in this day in which we're living. Noah obviously did what the Lord told him to do. The Bible says that in several places. For instance, Noah 7 and 5, and Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. That's all God wants us to do. Well, the Bible tells us that Noah lived for 350 years after the flood. Now, altogether, he died at the age of 950. And it's interesting to note that Abraham was 58 years old when Noah died. So you see the timeline there. It makes an interesting study when you can put these men together. Well, the next thing we read about is the Tower of Babel. And it says in chapter 10 and verse number 8, and Cush begat Nimrod, and he began to be a mighty one in the earth, and he was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. Now, Nimrod, the name means rebellion. The word mighty, it means possessing great and impressive power. He was a leader, and people were following him. Quite frankly, he is the type of the Antichrist. And the Bible says he was a hunter. A hunter is one who is looking to overtake something or someone. And it says he was before the Lord. That word before has been translated against 17 times. He was in rebellion. He was a man who had great leadership. He was looking to overtake and be in charge, and he was against the Lord. And so we read in Genesis 11, verse number 4, they said, go to, let us build us a city, and a tower whose top may reach into heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Now, what God had told them to do, the Lord said, was replenish the earth. That's what I want you to do. Go across the whole face of the earth. You know, I'm living in a little place called Sarnia. It's not very big compared to New York City, but both pieces of property were around when this took place. And now there's some population here. There was no population here back then. But God had said, go and replenish the earth. Well, they said, no, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. What we got to do is stick together and make a name for ourselves. Now, it talks about building this tower into heaven. I don't know if they were that dumb that they could think that they could get a tower to reach up into heaven and overthrow God. Maybe they were, but one thing for sure, God knew they couldn't. I mean, the fact is that our closest star is 4.3 light years from Earth, and we're not even getting anywhere near heaven yet. The closest star, light year, 486,000 miles a second. Now, a light year is 4.3 years at 486,000 miles a second. You can reach the first star. What kind of tower are they going to build? The fact is, you can't breathe properly at about 5 miles above the earth. These jets that fly around up there and take people all over the place, they have oxygen in case you need it. Well, we see here that they had a plan, and their plan, simply put, was a one-world system, and that's what this is talking about. The purpose was to make a name for themselves, but they had a problem that they weren't counting on, and that problem was God. Well, we see here in chapters 10 and chapters 11, we have here some very important information. Now, you look at it and you say, it doesn't look too inspiring to me. Well, it's not inspiring. It's there to give us a link from the time of Noah to Abraham. And you can read, for instance, in Genesis 5 and 1, the generations of Adam. And then you can read in 6 and 9, the generations of Noah. And then you can read in 10 and 1, the generations of the sons of Noah. And then, particularly, chapter 11, verse 10, the generations of Shem. And all of chapter 10 and chapter 11 prove the timeline, prove a whole lot of things. Very important portion of Scripture. But not something that is there to inspire you to do something in particular, but there to prove the Word of God is the Word of God. Now we read in chapter 11 and verse number 27, now these are the generations of Terah. Terah begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran begat Lot. So we're going into the next study here in our next program, and we're going to look at the call of Abraham. Now, he's called Abram at that time. God later changed his name to Abraham. We read in Genesis 12 and verse number 1, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee." And here we have the beginning of the nation of Israel, a very important portion of Scripture. We're going to look at it in our next program, but once again, I want to emphasize the fact that the Bible stands.
The Bible stands like a rock, undaunted mid the raging storms of time. Its pages burn with the truth eternal, and they glow with the light sublime. The Bible stands like a mountain towering far above the works of men. Its truth by none ever was refuted, and destroy it they never can. The Bible stands over hills, they tumble, it will firmly stand. When the earth shall crumble, I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible. And it will forever, when the world has passed away. By inspiration it has been given, all its precepts I will obey. The Bible stands, every test we give it, for its author is. By grace alone, I expect to live it, and to prove it and make it mine. The Bible stands, though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand. When the earth shall crumble, I will plant my feet